Okay, welcome to the class tonight, and we're talking about seven differences between people who trust in God and people who don't. And these are very, very important differences, and they're very hard to do. These are very hard tests, and sometimes in life they're very hard tests. And obviously a person who trusts in God, things will faze that person less, because they trust that everything will turn out well. If not in this world, at least in the next world. We have two worlds. We're Jews, we have two worlds. You know the famous story of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, right? He was in jail, the Russians put him in jail. He's not allowed to teach Torah anymore. They put a gun to his head. Sign the paper, you'll never teach Torah anymore. So I wasn't scared. Didn't bat an eyelid. He said, how come you're not scared? He said, you only have one bullet and I have two lives. The great perspective on life is, if it doesn't go well over here, lo kulam zochim l'shtei shulchanot. We talked about last week, Rav Hananya bar Hanina ben Dosa. Not everyone is worthy to have two tables, you know, this world and the next world. The person can't make it this world, okay, next world. The person, so Hashem didn't give him the reward in this world, so he'll get reward in the next world. A person got reward in this world, he's got to start getting worried. Right, that's a famous story, Rabbi Kiva. Went to visit Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Hare ani keben shivim shana. This is great. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he was the chief rabbi at the age of 18. Can you imagine? Well, sort of, because he had to take turns with Rabban Gamliel. 1 week him, 2 weeks Rabban Gamliel. Eventually, that was the arrangement eventually. But eventually, he becomes the chief rabbi, and he's a multimillionaire. This guy, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, didn't work a day in his life. Multimillionaire. But at the end of his life, he started suffering. He got sick. And all the rabbis went to visit him, and they all cried when they saw him in his suffering. And Akiva goes, and he was laughing. Akiva, you're crazy. Why are you laughing? The rabbi is suffering. He said, all my life I worried about him. Things are too good. Maybe he's getting all his reward in this world. Rabbi Akiva is a contrarian. He's a real contrarian. But now I see him suffering, I'm happy. Because now I see he's getting his punishment in this world. He must have done something wrong. And then he'll get all of his reward in the next world. They're not going to withdraw any reward. So we see over here this idea that in this world, if everything goes well, the person's not going to start worrying. Wow. That's wild. We think the other way around. We think when things don't go well, we start worrying. No! When things go well, perfection. That's scary. That's too good to be true. There's no person who deserves that goodness 100%. And if a person gets it all in this world, maybe he won't get it in the next world. Look at the greats. Avraham Avinu. Do you think he didn't suffer in his life? Do you think Moshe didn't suffer in his life? They all had their ups and downs, and they're going to get rewarded for it. Right? Because the Jewish people, they come out of Egypt, and they get stuck at the Red Sea. Now, can you imagine what kind of thought that is? Can you imagine a person gets stuck at the Red Sea, and behind him is Paro? It's Jewish history. It happens all the time. We get stuck at a roadblock. We get stuck over there. There's dangers. What do you do? And they're screaming and crying, and Moshe Rabbeinu is pleading, and Hashem says, don't cry. Well, we don't cry. What am I going to do now? Keep going. There's a sea. Keep going. And you see the seas split. Amazing. What a brilliant idea for life. A person has troubles in one's life. What do you do? Stop? Obstacles? No. Just keep going. Hashem says, keep going. Have your faith in me, and you'll see that things will split. What a brilliant idea. What a brilliant idea this is for life. Just keep on going in life with trust in God. And you'll see how the sea will split. Nachshon ben Aminadab, it says, this is not in the Torah, this is a Midrash. But the Midrash fills in the gaps in the Torah. The Torah doesn't say, because the Torah, because Hashem says in the Torah, it says, tell the Jewish people, Esau, tell them to journey. Hashem says, I'm not going to tell them to journey. There's no way to journey. Hashem says, journey. And then he says, Moshe, put up your hand and your staff, and the water will split. So what happens first? The journey came first? Or he picked up his hand first? So the pshat is, he picked up his hand, the water split, and then he walked. Midrash says, no, first they had to journey, and then the water split. In other words, in life, if you don't move, nothing's going to happen. The water will not split. So the rabbis say, this applies to marriage, and this applies to getting a job, and making a living. If you don't make the first move, nothing's going to happen. The person's going to make the first move. Nothing's going to happen without the move. You don't put that ring on the finger, nothing's going to happen. Not going to happen. Hashem says, you want it to split? You have to do the first move. You have to trigger and that's a very important idea, trigger the miracle. Human beings have to trigger the miracle. It's not just going to happen. Even coming out of Egypt didn't just happen. They had to trigger it. How they trigger it? You have to live by your blood. You live by your blood. You have to do dam milah and dam korban pesach. If you don't do it, you're not going to get out. Very simple. Hashem says, no freebies. You have to trigger it. You put the finger on the button. You push the button, and then I'll help you. I was looking today, 1948. Can you imagine what guts to declare the state of Israel? I have no idea. You're surrounded by 100 million Arabs, 600,000 Jews. That's it. 600,000 Jews. I think it's more than 100 million, but okay. 100 million. Now there's 200 million, so maybe. 100 million Arabs surrounding you, and there's nothing. You have no army. There's no army. There's the Haganah, which is like a ill-equipped little thing. There are no airplanes. There are two Piper Cubs. You know what Piper Cubs are? These little tiny airplanes. There are no bombs. They would throw bottles, empty bottles from the window, from the outside, so they make a lot of screaming noises, and people, that's how the Arabs of Safat ran away. They thought, you know, the bottles, it's a nuclear weapon coming down, and it started raining afterwards. It always rains after a nuclear explosion, and they all ran away. It's like miracles, 1948. They fought for 15 months. The war was not a short war, it was 15 months war. Surrounded by seven armies, came and seven regular armies against this. I can't even imagine. I can't believe it. Pilots from the US. Yeah, but were they flying? They had no flight. They eventually got some Spitfires. I don't know. They've got a few donations from here and there. But these guys had real air forces and real armies, and they were equipped. And they're trained. The Royal Legion was trained by the British, and the Egyptians also. 15 months they fought. They lost 6,000 people. That's 1% of the whole population died. But you can imagine if they wouldn't do anything, nothing would happen. Now we see this in Jewish history. If you don't do anything, if Shlomo doesn't build the temple, nothing's going to happen. You know, that's a big machlok between Rashi and Rambam. Who's going to build the third temple? Rashi says it's going to come down in fire. Everything's going to happen by itself. Rambam says Mashiach, that's part of being a Mashiach. You're Mashiach? Go ahead. Prove it. Why would I do? You gotta build a temple. Build out me? I'm not. Then you're Mashiach. You're not Mashiach. The Mashiach will have to. That's his job. That's according to Rambam. So how do you reconcile? So I heard this beautiful reconciliation of this issue. Who's going to build the Beit Hamikdash? It's going to come down by fire. It's going to. Who's going to build it? This is Rabbi Shlomo Amar, chief rabbi now. He used to be chief rabbi of Israel. Now he's chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. A little bit of a come down, but he's a genius. This man is a genius. Amazing. He says this, and they're both right, because they're two-third temples.
What?
Two-third temples. There's one in heaven, and there's one above, and one in heaven, hell. But it's in one in this world, one in the world above, and they're above. They're both above each other. One on top of the other. You know what? When the upper temple is destroyed, the lower temple is going to be destroyed anyway. And that means there's a connection. That's what Yaakov Avinu said. This is the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven. Where's the house of God? What house of God? He saw the house of God. This is the house of God. Where's the house of God? There's no house of God here. I saw it. There's a house of God right here. And this is the gateway to heaven. So the temple below is the gateway to the temple above. That's what Yaakov Avinu saw, the house of God. He saw something that we can't see. It's there today. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. We're trying to rebuild it. So before we can rebuild the third temple, the third temple is going to be rebuilt above. And that's what Rashi says. Rashi says it will come down with fire. What does that mean? That means that's the third temple in heaven. But the Mashiach will have to build a real one in this world. That's how he reconciles Rashi and Rambam, which is interesting. Very beautiful reconciliation. Let's see. Listen, we don't know for sure. We'll see what happens. Let's see what happens. The Mashiach comes. If it's not built, it doesn't come from heaven, he'll have to build it. There's no other choice. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech, we discussed in the last few weeks. Shlomo HaMelech had to build a temple. Why didn't they just come down? And the answer is, human beings have to build it. That's our job. Our job is to trigger. And then Hashem says, I'll help you. So you know what? David HaMelech started gathering everything together. Then Shlomo, and Hashem helped Shlomo. Gave him Siyata Nishmaya. Amazing. Saved the Mishkan. Hashem has to help. Moshe Rabbeinu put up and he put it up by himself. The Mishkan, the heavy beams of the Mishkan. He did it. How many times did he do it? Seven days. Every day. Taking up, putting down. Take it. How did he do it? And the answer is, Siyata Shemaya. But we have to trigger it. We have to trigger it. That's a very important idea. We have to break through the obstacles. How do you break through the obstacles? And the answer is, Well, by yourself, you're not going to be able to break through the obstacles. But you have to start the process and trust in God, and Hashem will help you break the obstacles. That's how Israel's created. That's how we're out. That's how we're around. That's how everyone gets married. That's how everyone has kids. Because otherwise, person's not going to do anything. Why? It's too great an obstacle. Listen, I would never get married. I got $400 in my pocket. How to get married? I'm mad. And the answer is, the night of the wedding, I had more money than after before the wedding. How? All the wedding presents. Baruch Hashem. People don't realize that. And even if you don't, trust in God, and you see, how can you have children? But I can't have children. I can't afford it. Can't afford yeshiva tuition. You're right. You can't afford it, but I don't know how I paid for it. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. You just got to do it. If you don't do it, nothing's going to happen. Very simple. But I said, I can't do it. It's obstacles, obstacles, obstacles. You won't do anything in life. You got to do it. You got to jump in. And either the sea will split or it won't split. And if it wins, if it splits, well and good. If it doesn't split, you just bang your head until it splits. It'll keep on banging. That's it. That's right. You got to keep on moving. That's what Hashem tells the Jewish people. Tell the Jewish people, Esau, why are you, why are you crying to me? Tell the Jewish people, Esau, let them journey. What do you mean journey? Journey where? Through the sea. Through the sea. Well, start the journey, I'll help you. If you don't start the journey, I'm not going to help you. But it's very, very critical. Can you imagine, if according to the Midrash, if Nashon would not have jumped in, what would happen? Nothing. Wild. Wild. So that's critical in running one's life. Trust in God is so critical. Because we'll never go into business. Because how do you know what's going to happen? And the answer is you don't know. A lot of businesses fail. But that comes to trust in God. That also brings us to trust in God. The trust in God really is more on the failure side than on the good side. But we're going to see both sides, right? So now, let's give an example. A person says, you know what, I'll open business. So now let's take the side the guy is very successful in business. Where does trust in God come in? And there's a mitzvah in the Torah to remember. A person's not allowed to say, Kochi ve'otzim yadi asali tachai lazeh. A person not allowed to say, my strength and my wisdom and my this and my that did this. I created this fantastic business. That is the test of bitachon when a person is doing well. Is it God or is it you? A person says, it's me. Oh, that's scary. Hashem says, that wasn't you. I'm going to teach you a lesson. Person shouldn't say it's me. That's dangerous. That's about Bar Kochba's mistake, right? Bar Kochba says, I'm strong enough. Hashem doesn't have to help me. Just don't help my enemies. Big danger, big danger. That is the danger of success. Danger of success is a person says, it was me. But where's your bitachon? Where's your trust in God? Well, I don't need trust in God because it was me. I'm successful. I don't need trust in God anymore. I'm getting to the point. Chafetz Chaim says this beautiful idea. Chafetz Chaim says beautiful idea. He says he went once to raise money in Moscow. He had a lot of guts, this guy. Chafetz Chaim, come on. He's in Radin, Poland. He must be really destitute to have the guts to go to Moscow. That's really the Tsar's seat of power, right? Was it? So anyway, so he goes to Moscow. A lot of rich Jews in Moscow apparently that time. He goes to get gathers all the rich Jews, and he's telling them he has a yeshiva. He's trying to persuade to give money, and they all. He says, "Don't you understand?" He says, "That money you can't take it with you. One day you'll lose it." So one guy says, "I'm diversified. I'm well diversified. Even if I lose $1 million here, I have $10 million left over there. If I lose $1 million here, I have $10 million over here. I'm diversified." He said, "You see what the money did to you? It made you a Baal Gava. It made you a proud person. It made you like, nothing can happen to me. It made you proud. It ruined your midot." Psh, oh wow, scary. And that, you know what? That's a test of success. The test of success is a person becomes a Baal Gava. I am the greatest. Muhammad Ali, Imam, he said it. Where is it? Now he's gone. He had how many years? He had Parkinson's, right? Terrible. Person says, I'm the greatest. Hashem says, you're stepping on my turf. Because I'm the only great one. And that's what the Gemara says. There's no room in this world for both you and me. It's a very important idea. So a person is successful. He has to have trust in God. Otherwise he says, it's me and not God. It was me all the time. I did it. I must be fantastic. I'm a genius. And you know what? Some people help him. And they say, you must be a genius. Yeah, he laps it up. No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. I could never have done this. It's Hashem. That's what he should say. That's what a person with trust in God should say. It wasn't me. I didn't do it. But it wasn't me. I know I didn't do it. Because I never had the power. Listen, I started a school from scratch. But it wasn't me. Because I know It was scary. Every day was scary. How am I going to raise so much money? I can't do it. He's got ulcers. That's crazy. There's no way. It wasn't me. Why? I know. Because the sea split. It's a miracle. The sea, honestly, I saw it in my life. The sea split. It's a miracle. You jump in and don't. No idea where everything's going to come from. No idea. And the sea starts splitting. I don't know how. Hashem sends it. Hashem. A person says it was me, it's making a big mistake, and that shows lack of trust in God. A person fails. Oh boy, we need more trust in God. It's a failure which a person says, what am I gonna do? I'm a failure. What am I gonna do now? I'm ruined. Not only did I not succeed, I'm in debt. Now what do I do? And the answer is nothing you can do. Trust. More trust in God. You know, this week's parashah is very special. Why? It's the Parashat Haman. This week's parasha is Parashat Haman, the secret of a person's parnasa. It comes from heaven. Parashat Haman is a secret of trusting God, right? Where did the Jews learn to trust in God? That's the secret. 40 years. You don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Where's my food going to come from? Scary. Only on Friday they have peace of mind. On Friday they had two chalot. That's what we do today. And they had two omers of man. They had two measures of man. So Friday night they could sleep. Shabbat, thank God for Shabbat. I got food in the bank. I got food for tomorrow, thank God. But every day, who knows? I got kids, I got this. What are they going to eat? What's going to happen? Why are you worried? Hashem is going to fall from heaven. What a test. What an amazing concept to teach trusting God. Every day, people are going to think, you know, where's it going to come from tomorrow? Where's it going to come from tomorrow? And people just worry about tomorrow. We can't. Listen, what's going to happen? We don't know what's going to happen the next second. So, a person's got to know, too. So, number one is, a person's got to have trust in God. When things are going well, they got to trust God. Not only they got to trust God, it's a big test. Why? To say it was God and not me. Wow, when things are going well, it's very hard not to say it's me. And it says, I must be great. I must be, look at life. It's so good. I can buy this, and I can buy this. I have credit cards coming out of my pocket. Flip, 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 flip. Which one do you want? Take a pick. I must be great. Danger, 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 red lights, flashing red lights. Hashem says, don't forget me. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. But you remember, Ki hu noten lecha koach lazot chayil. He's the one who gave you strength to be great. Hashem is the one who gave you strength to be great. But says, I'm a great doctor. But going to say, Hashem gave me the strength to be great. But says, I'm a great businessman. He's saying, Hashem gave me the ability to be great. Hashem says, I'm a great rabbi. Hashem gave you the brains to do anything. Number one, you're not great because of. But there's so many great people around. And you know, the greater they are, the more humble they are. That's the secret of greatness. You see these great people that people line up to see? There's no pride at all in these people. I went to see the Baba Sali. I've never seen. The guy is humble. Rav Yitzhak Kaduri. You can't find humbler people than these people. You can't. Look at how they sit and how they act and how they eat and how they talk and how they laugh. There's no humbler people than these people. It's very humbling just to see them because that's the greatness. You see greatness. The greatness is the humility. And Moshe, it says, Moshe anav me'od mikol hadam. He was the most humble from anyone else. Why? Because if you're next to God, you know you're nothing. The more you hang out with God, the more you know. Who am I? I'm zero. So it's interesting. The more close a person gets to Hashem, the less they think of themselves because... Comparatively, relatively, what are we?
I got a note.
Halavai. Yeah. Ganald. Batel b'shishim. Batel b'millions. Batel b'infinity. Hanald in infinity. So a person who accepts God's judgment in all things and thanks God for both the good and the bad. It's so hard to thank God for bad. And it's very hard and we should never know to thank God for bad. But the truth is nothing is bad. And that is the hard thing to think about. There's no such thing as bad because God is good. It may look bad, it may feel bad, it may feel terrible, but it's God's kindness. How do you deal with that? How do you figure that one out? The answer, as we said, is two worlds. And this world, a person either getting their whatever, kapara, and it's better to get it here, not there, and whatever. There's reasons for everything, but it's God's mercy. It's like a person, you take your kids to get a shot. For those who today take the kids to get shots. Today it's getting very unpopular, which is a very bad idea, by the way. I'm very pro getting shots because you see with outbreaks in Jewish communities, and there was just one in Los Angeles, just recently, I think last week or whatever. I can't remember, what is it, pneumonia and bronchitis, I don't know what it was, because people stopped getting shots. So I recommend people get shots, give your children shots. But what happens if you take the kid for a shot? And the kid's over there, and the guy's got a big needle over there, and the kid's screaming, Daddy, Daddy, why are you doing this to me, Daddy? I mean, I remember my own, that was a very traumatic experience, a polio shot. Oh boy, those needles are big. You ever had that polio shot? Oh boy, we all did, I guess. Daddy, why Daddy, why Daddy? Well, is it Daddy's love or is Daddy's hate? Daddy's love. So the answer is, that's the answer. The answer is Hashem wants us to grow. Hashem wants us to develop. Hashem wants us to know that there's tests and trials in life. We have to go through these tests. And Hashem loves us. It's part of God's love. So, a person's got to accept God's judgment in all things. Thank God for the good and the bad. So what happens is, thanking God for the good, you think it's easy? Not easy at all. Why? Hakarat Hatov. A person's got to humble themselves and say, thank you Hashem. I appreciate what you gave me. It's humbling experience to say thank you. That's why the word Todah is based on the word Modim, which is bowing. Modeh and Modeh. There's Modeh, which I admit, and there's Modeh, which I thank. And they're both the same word. Because when you thank, you're admitting. What are you admitting? You're admitting that I owe you. And that people can't take. People find it very hard to say thank you. Why? Because it's an admission that I owe you something. And that's the problem today. That's why even children can't say thank you to their parents. You know, means I'm dependent on someone. Well, I was dependent. I owe you because people. Yeah, it's very hard. Children don't say thank you. You can go through your whole life as a parent. Only now am I appreciate my mother much more. Because when you go and deal with your own children, you see, this is what my parents went through. Oh boy, you mean they had to get up in the middle of the night and change the diapers? Oh God, you know what it's like to wake up. I can tell you, right? It's still happening now. Still happening, oh boy. I think there was 14 years of my life and I overslept one night. And when it happened, I said, what happened? What was different, huh? I didn't wake up. It's the first time in 14 years I never woke up in the middle of the night. Wow. It's such a... And you think, my parents also went through the same thing. You ever change a diaper? Oh boy, it's like... It's traumatic for a man. So we have to have faith. When things are going well, to thank God. It takes a lot of effort to thank God because things are going well, you forget about God. When things are going well, people forget about God. Very simple. And God says, okay, you forgot about me now. Well, I want to give you a little reminder. So you know what? I'll turn the tap off a little bit. The spigot that gives us Shefa and gives us all this beautiful. I'm going to turn it off. I'm going to tighten the knots a little bit. I'll turn the tap off a little bit. See what happens. I said, but I need you, Hashem, Hashem. All of a sudden he remembers, I need Hashem, I need you, Hashem, Hashem, I need you. Please open back the tap, open the tap. Hashem opens the tap. Oh, I appreciate Hashem, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. 2 years later, forgot. Okay, let's close the tap a little bit. Thank you, thank you, thank you, please, Hashem. It's like that all the time in life. That's what our lives are like. Either the tap is wide open, the tap is getting closed. We're screaming one way, but we forget God when everything's going well. That's the trouble. Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat, Jewish history. When things were going well, time of the Shoftim, after the time of the kings, the Jews got, everything's going well, the Torah predicted, they're going to get fat and they're going to boot Hashem, they're going to kick Hashem, Chas v'Shalom. They rebelled against God. Went back to idolatry, hard to imagine. Things are going well, you're going idolatry, Hashem gave you so much. But everyone's doing it, peer pressure. People around them, it's very hard to stay monotheist when the whole world is pagan. The whole world is pagan. It's hard to imagine. The fact that we retained it is a miracle. The fact the Jews survived as monotheists, it's a miracle. But Hashem kept us, and the prophets were screaming at us, and Hashem was, there was famine, and there was this, until we came back and repented. So the first level, the person who trusts in God, the first thing is, a sign is he accepts God's judgment in everything. He thanks God for both the good, which is hard to do, he said, and he thanks God for the bad, which is even harder to do. How do you thank God for the bad? For goodness sake, I mean, the answer is you have to see it's not coming from as a hatred, it's coming from love. The bad is coming from love. Oy, that's hard to see. Hard to see the love. So the rabbis learned this in the Gemara in Brachot, Daf Samach Amabet. Samach Amabet, in 60b, the Gemara says, a person should say a bracha for the bad, just like he says a bracha for the good. Nun Dalet Amud Aleph 54a. So a person said, how do you say a bracha on a bed? What's a bracha on a bed? And the answer is, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Dayan HaEmet, the true judge. Oh, it's so hard to say. And that should, a person should say that on hearing bad news. A person says, you know, my stocks crashed. 2008, remember 2008? So instead of jumping out the window, Baruch Atah Hashem, thank you Hashem, you're the true judge. How are you going to say that? Thank you. With fervor, with happiness. How can a person say this? How? It's a person going to say this with thank you and fervor. I lost my father, I had to say it. I got to say it. Baruch Atah Hashem. Most people are crying when they say it. A person going to say it. Thank God. God is a true judge. It's like going to court and losing and then telling the judge, thank you, judge. Thank you, thank you. You're a true judge. You're a good judge. I love you. I love you, judge. He just made you lose a lot of money. Were you loving the judge? But that's what we do with Hashem. Hashem is a true judge. In other words, we have to recognize that takes a lot of emunah, it takes a lot of bitachon. A person's got to build up to that. Every day we say it, and it's so hard to do. How many people really intend Hashem? Can you imagine a person that thinks, Hashem, I really love you, Hashem. Hashem says, wow. You're probably one of the only out of the 7 billion people in the world. How many people really love Hashem? That's why Abraham Avinu got to that level. And that's why Hashem chose Abraham. Because he truly loved God. And Hashem says, and Yeshayahu, he says, Abraham, Ohavi, Abraham, my beloved. How do you get to that level? Can you imagine? We say every day, but it's so hard to do. It's so hard to feel. It's a feeling inside. But it says, I love Hashem. How do you do that? And the answer is, you've got to make Hashem your best friend. How do you make Hashem your best friend? By talking to him all the time. Inside your head. Because really, who do we have to depend on? Person's sick. You got a doctor. Okay, fine. You got this doctor. You got that doctor. Drive you crazy. Do you find the right one? It's so hard. Who knows exactly what to do and how to treat you, whatever. So who are you going to talk to? You talk to Hashem all the time. Person says, I need help with my business. And that's why businessmen, by the way, are either the biggest crooks or the biggest chassidim. I don't mean chassidim. I mean pious people. Why? Because they know there's nothing to rely on except God. Who's going to send them clients? Where are your clients coming from? God, I don't know. It's a miracle. This guy walks in up the street. This guy walks in. And the news spreads. Some stores do very well. Some stores do terribly. It's amazing. They can sell the same thing. Look at Walmart. I don't know how. They got bracha. I have an idea why. Because their advertising is modest. That's my idea. All the advertising is modest. It's amazing. Look at the advertising. Clean. Macy's, disgusting. And other stores, what I'm saying is, I think that's Hashem has blessed them because of that. That's my opinion. That's my humble opinion. Maybe there's something else as well. I don't know. I'm just giving you an example. So how does a person get to the level? A person's going to love Hashem and say, Hashem is doing it out of love. Everything is love. Everything is Chasdei Hashem. It's very important to think everything is Chasdei Hashem. We are living on Chasdei Hashem. Truth is, we are living as according to what we read last week. Even Olam Haba is not because we deserve it. Because however much we get and how much we deserve, it's never enough because we owe much more than we deserve. We can never pay Hashem back for the debts we owe. Bringing us into this world for nothing, it's not nothing. It took a lot of effort. We don't really realize it. We don't really realize how much effort Hashem did. Well, obviously for Hashem it's not effort. I was just saying, give an example. To create the world, how much do you think it was no effort? Put a lot of thought into it. Everything's well designed. Look at it. Everything's designed. Designer. The clockmaker. The designer. Hashem designed this world to the nth degree. To even the
amoebas.
Go less. Even less. Huh?
Atoms.
It's designed. Amazingly designed. And we don't even know this. There's quarks and even things less. What are the atoms? Everything's designed to the nth. Nanoparticles. How small is a nanoparticle? Is it smaller than atom? No. Is it?
Subatomic particles.
Subatomic particles. Nanoparticles. It's very dangerous, by the way. I have a guy who used to work in the nanoparticle lab in Princeton. He had to wear a suit. Because if they go into your lungs, they can kill a person. It's so small, they can. I don't know what they can do to a person. But they can go all over and they sort of make holes everywhere. I guess nano holes. I don't know. But you had to wear a real, like an astronaut suit and a breathing tube and oxygen and stuff, because they'll filter whatever. It's very dangerous. So it's anyway. So to from the smallest thing to the biggest thing. Look at the design of Hashem. Design. We owe Hashem so much. So why don't you love someone who did so much for you? But you've got to think about it all the time. Look what Hashem did for me. He did this for me. Did this for me. He created this world for me. We don't even think about Hashem created the world for us. We don't even think about it. We have to think more about it. Especially today was a beautiful day. Wow. Today was gorgeous. Have you been outside today? You know, I was driving around in the sunshine. Oh, it's gorgeous. Blue skies, sunshine. It's a day to praise Hashem. Yom Asah Hashem. Nagila v'nismecha bo. David HaMelech says, this is the day God created. Nagila v'nismecha bo. Let us rejoice and rejoice with Hashem. So whether things are good, things are bad, Baruch Hashem. But trouble is, we say, you can tell by a person's voice. How are you doing? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Yeah, so a person should try and say Baruch Hashem properly every time. Because Baruch Hashem is a very, very high level of blessing God. So every time you say, blessed be His name, blessed be. Who's the first one to say Baruch Hashem? It's Eliezer ben Abraham, the servant of Abraham. Imagine, think about it. Think about the scenario. He's waiting at the well and he says a prayer to Hashem. He says, Hashem, the first woman that comes out gives me water and gives my camels water. That must be the one for Abraham's. The Rambam says a terrible prayer, and the Gemara says terrible prayer. He didn't specify what he wants. And Hashem answered him, and he says, straight away she came out, straight away! Hashem had her waiting over there for his tefillah. Think about it. He comes out straight away, Vaish Mishta'e, he's going crazy. He couldn't believe his eyes. Vaish Mishta'e, he's like, what? Would you like some water? I just said it. And I'll give you some for your camels as well. What? I can't believe it. I can't believe this. It's amazing. It's amazing. Baruch Hashem. And okay, Abraham. God of Abraham. Baruch Hashem. God of Abraham. Look at the power. Straight away, boom. That's why we say, we have to think about that. And okay, no, but okay, Abraham. God of Abraham. Wow. We don't know the power over there. God of Yitzhak. God of Yitzhak. It's tremendous power. If we really think about it. Person's going to think about this story and then they pray. Wow, can you imagine your tefillah? It's going to be answered like pop right there. Person really is. But you really pray with the God of Abraham. Yeah. Hashem will do anything for Abraham. We're the children of Abraham Avinu. Well, it's a big zechut. We have a tremendous merit. So we have to use that merit. So, person's going to say a bracha. How do you say a bracha for bad and good? So, person's going to think about God's love. It's not coming from hate, it's coming from love. And you know what? That's the way of the world is. Certain things happen in this world. Dor alech, dor ba. One generation comes, one generation goes. You just got to make sure that there's a generation that comes in, but when the generation goes. Our generation are going, no one's coming in. That's the trouble with the Jews today. Generations are going, but there's no one making up for it. Not enough kids coming into the world. So, that's a little bit of a comfort. Generation goes and a generation comes. That's the normal way. But sometimes it doesn't work. Had a case over here in the shul, right? The guy, the great grandfather died. He had a great grandson having a brit on the same day. And he's named after him. That's generation comes, generation goes. It's not really time to cry. It's time to joy. It's a brit of the great grandson on the day he died. Bah, what a great thing. And great. So you say, Dain Amen, it's like, Baruch Hashem. That's a true judge. Hashem gave it. That's what Eov says. Hashem Natan, Hashem Lakach. The rabbis say, Eov, when he thanked God for the good. Because Hashem Natan. He couldn't really say Hashem Lakach. Thank God for the giving and the taking. Why do you have to add the giving? Because he couldn't say just thank God for the good taking. He didn't have that emunah to get the level. I just saw that Shir is just in the Gemara. And Daf Yomi just, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, day before. Daf Tedvav. Tedvav, Tedzayin in Bava Batra. The story of Eov. Was he a tzaddik? Was he not a tzaddik? The Gemara has a whole discussion. It examines what he said, how he said it. He says this beautiful line, Hashem gave and Hashem took. Hashem natan, Hashem lakach. Yishem Hashem mevorach leolam ba'ed. Something like that. I'm not exactly sure. But beautiful, beautiful words. But it says, why do you have to say Hashem gave and Hashem took? Why don't you just say Hashem took? Thank God. Couldn't. He couldn't. Unless he thought about the giving part of it. He couldn't just say things on the bad. That's one opinion. He just couldn't say the thank you for the bad. It's a very high level. Thank God for the bed. If you say, thank God for giving me and taking it, okay. That's very hard. It's very, very hard. This is very hard. But a person has to believe that everything's from love. And we got to think about the big picture, not the small picture. It wasn't just this. Hashem gave me everything. Hashem. That's how Bria phrased it to Rav Meir, right? Rav Meir Balanes. And it's a Shabbat in Israel, and there's a plague. I don't know what kind of plague there was, and the children, his two children, are dying of plague. And he comes home after Shabbat, and he says, "Knew how the kids?" He said, "First, make Havdalah." He makes Havdalah. How are the kids? Let me tell you a story. There was a man who gave us 2 diamonds, and today he came and he asked for his diamonds back. What do I do? Give them back or not? Of course, you give them back. That's the story. The man came today for the diamonds. He said, "Oh gosh, Baruta in Amit." That's what Hashem gave and Hashem takes. That's a person. That's a smart person. We'll think about it that way. But even more, a person on a high level will say, "I don't even get to the point where Hashem gave. Hashem took. I thank God for taking." It's hard. That's a very high level. But a person who has no faith in God brags about his own prowess when things go well for him. "I'm the greatest. Things are going well. It's me. It's me. Look at me. I'm the greatest. Look. Take pictures of me. I'm the greatest. Look." As it says in Psalm number 10, the wicked man boasts about his lust, and the robber praises himself that he has blasphemed God. Ooh. And he becomes angry when God goes badly. When things go badly, he gets angry. When things are going well, it's me. When things are not going well, it's God. If I always. People don't ask, you know, where is God when the building of Israel? They don't say that. Say, where is God in the Holocaust? When things are bad, where is God? When things are good? People don't say, "Thank God, where's God? God's here." Right? They always ask about the bad things. They don't ask the good things in life. And the bad things. Why is this kid so sick? Well, what about the kid who's so healthy? What about the more kids are healthier than sick? Baruch Hashem for that, a million times. Thank God. So the good things, they don't question, "Where's God?" But the bad things, we question, "Where's God?" And that's the test of emunah. So a person who has no emunah will say, "It's blame God for things which are bad. I'm angry with God." You know how people don't talk to God? Because they're angry with God. Isn't that a very small-minded thing? It's a childish behavior, right? Imagine, "I'm angry with my father. I don't talk to my father." Chutzpah! Chutzpah! What kind of child are you? What kind of person are you? You have no hakarat atov. Your father gave you everything you have, and you're not going to talk to your father? You know how much your father loved you? "I don't talk to my father." You know why? When I asked him for something, he didn't give it to me. Too bad. And that's a childish relationship with God, some people have, unfortunately. So when people become hungry, they get angry and curse God, the king. Yeshayahu says in chapter 8. But a person who has trusted God will praise God when things are going well, and praise God when things are not going well. And that's a very high level. That's a very, very high level. And that is number one. That's the first thing we talked about, is the difference between a person who believes in God or not. So let's do it again. Number one. If a person believes in God when things are going well, they praise God. If a person doesn't believe in God and things are going well, they say, "It's me." When things are going badly, the guy who believes in God says, "Thank you, Hashem. You gave me good and you gave me bad. What am I going to do? I trust you. Everything's coming from your good part. Everything's coming from goodness." And a person who doesn't trust in God will say, "I'm angry with you, God. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I don't believe you anymore. I'm going to find a different God. Or I'll just be an atheist. Today is just atheist." Elie Wiesel says, you can argue with God and fight with God, but you can never ignore God. And you know what? God will not let you ignore him. Jews cannot ignore God. It's very dangerous. If you walk with me, Bakeri. Thank God he's not here anymore. Baruch Hashem. If you walk with me, Bakeri. If you walk with me in happenstance, I'll also walk with you in happenstance, Hashem says. You ignore me, I'll ignore you. Oh boy, that's very dangerous. You want God involved in our lives, you want God to protection. So that's the first level, person trusting God. He'll praise God when things are going well, and praise God when things are not going well. What are you going to do? Argue? What are you going to do? Fight? You're going to fight with your creator? You're going to fight with God? You can't fight with God. You never win. Person fights with God, never wins. Number two. And this is very, very powerful, and it's a very big test. A person who trusts in God will never get excited. Nothing will excite them. Why? Because, listen, there's a constant in my life. You know, in physics, there's a G constant. It's called gravity. They use the big letter G for gravity. Constant of gravity. There's a constant of gravity. I don't know, what was it, 9 point something? I can't remember. What was it? 9.8. 9.8? That's the speed. 9.8 meters per second, whatever. But it's a gravitational constant.
That's weird units also.
Something else. Huh?
That's weird units.
Right. It's metric.
Yeah.
Well, it's not weird if you live in Europe. it's metric units.
No, because it has a balanced acceleration.
But there is a G. There's a G, which is the gravity. But I say in our lives we have a G as well as God. A constant G. If you have a constant G in your life, you'll never flap. You'll be unflappable. Oh, but this happened. Okay. Hashem. There's God in my life. I can't get worried. Obviously, you got to try your best. Papa's going to do the hishtadlut, like they did in the sea, right? The first thing Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, they're all getting created. The Midrash says there's four different opinions. One says, let's run away. The other says, let's commit suicide. The other says, let's go back to Egypt. The other says, what are we going to fight? And Moshe says, Hityatzvu! Hit Yatzvu! What's Hit Yatzvu? One second. Stand still. Don't get excited. Because if you make decisions based on excitement, you're going to make the wrong decision. The first thing to do is stay calm. But how do I stay calm? Paro's there, the sea's here, what am I going to do? It's an emergency. You're going to stay calm in an emergency? Yes, Hit Yatzvu. Stay calm because you'll see Hashem's salvation. Wow, that's a very powerful statement. But it wasn't so simple because they had to do something. But this, Hashem says, move, keep going. Stay calm and keep going. That is the key. Stay calm and keep going. A person who trusts in God is serene. This position is calm. No matter what troubles. Bar Minam, we should have no troubles. I tell you, it's so hard to stay calm. It's so hard to stay calm. A person knows everything is for his own good in this world and in the next world. As David said, for Hashem alone. Wait silently, my soul. My hope is from Hashem. So a person who has hope from Hashem, always calm. Don't get excited. You won the lottery. Okay. How have I? You lost money. Okay. Hashem is the boss. It's very hard. Big test. Calm. It's very important to stay calm. It's also very good for health. It's very good for blood pressure. It's also very good for heart. Stay calm as possible. What is the technique? Stay calm. Everything is in God's hands. Tell oneself, everything is in God's hands. I trust in God. But a person who does not trust in God is always troubled, is always worried, is always beset with sorrow and sadness. No matter whether he's doing well or not, when things go well, he's unhappy because he wants more. And he wants to pile up his possessions. Everyone does. You have one. Rotze matayim. Yesh lo maneh. Gemara says, rotze matayim. He has 100, he wants 200. He has 200, he wants 400. He wants 400, he wants 800. He wants 800, he wants 1600. Right? He just keeps on going. There's no end to it. Never calm. Why? It's what? Struggle. I want. You know, a person gets to a certain time in their life where they just lose their desires. Oh, it's horrible to see. It's really horrible to see. I had a guy here, he was 80 years old, happily married, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, one day he stopped eating. I see him running with his wife. 80 years old, he's jogging. This guy's he's a strong man. Just went off his food. Decided he had enough of life. What happened? And the answer is, you can grab and grab and grab to a certain point. It doesn't satisfy me anymore. Physicality, materialism does not satisfy me anymore. He didn't have the spirituality. Now that spirituality keeps the person going. But it didn't happen. Imagine he had everything going for him. He had wealth, he had wife, he had children, he had happily married, everything happy, as far as I know. Stopped eating. And he was healthy. I have no idea what happened. But you know what? I've seen it. It's not the first. I've seen a few cases. They have everything and nothing. Why? After a while, a person gets sick of the pleasures of this life. That's a sign of old age already. And you see in the old age home, and the doctors know it's part of depression. They call it depression. Elderly depression is some, as Dr. Annalik will tell you the term, what's the medical term for it. But so Baruch Hashem, you don't have to worry about geriatrics. But geriatric medicine, it's elderly, it's well known. They give them pills, whatever. I went to see someone, I don't know why, the doctor volunteered me. We got the old age home. Doctor, can you see this woman? She's over 100 years old and she wants to talk to a rabbi. Okay, why me? Pick someone else. How are you? Yes. Okay, me. Okay, so come. Sit next to her. She's unloading how much her son hates her, doesn't talk to her, she's 100 years old. And how much she got married once, and she hated her husband, and he abused her. Okay, thank you. And now she feels better. She unloaded on me, and she feels better. But you know what? There's no God involved. That's the trouble. God was not mentioned in the conversation. She's not religious. And that's the trouble. The trouble is, a person has to have God in their life to balance things out. Yeah. Because rabbis are free, by the way. Psychologists cost you. Psychiatrists, you more, you know. No, rabbis are free. Any counseling rabbi, okay. In Brooklyn, there was a rabbi who used to take money. He used to charge $250 an hour. So listen, instead of going to psychology, you're going to come to me? Pay up front. He wasn't very popular. But people respected him. They didn't want to waste his time, you know. Clients' money. Right? But it's not a good way of doing things. It's a very rich community, so. But people didn't like it. I don't blame them. It's not right. Because he's part of the rabbi of the community. You know? Okay, so that's number two. Number two is test of trust in God is, are you calm all the time? Or do you get excited? It's very hard to stay calm all the time. A person should get excited sometimes. That's human beings. We're meant to be human. We're not meant to be stones. You're meant to have emotion. A person's going to get excited. But what kind of excitement are we talking about? We're not talking about excitement of fear. If the person's scared, no trust. That's the excitement we're talking about. You're meant to be excited when you do a mitzvah. You're meant to be excited. Someone has a birthday. Your child has a birthday. Love. Excitement. Show emotion. The person's going to show emotion. Should be like a rock. The person's going to be a human being. But not the excitement of fear or trembling, which is interesting. How do you do that? You control yourself. There's a mitzvah in the Torah not to get scared in a war. Al tirav, al techat. The enemy's there. I mean, today it's worse. You know why? It's very loud. Wars are very loud. You got bombs going off, explosions. But just stay calm. People go out of their mind. People go out of their minds. And in Jewish law, you meant to be... In those days, it wasn't so... There was no noise, I don't think. I don't know. I mean, the Romans would make noises with their shields. They'd bang their shields, whatever. Made loud noises to scare people. The horses, the hooves, you know. Bum, 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 bum. That's this week's parasha, right? Paro, but it's on sand. It's not so, you know. I'm sure they would scream, battle cries, and this and that. But today, you heard a bombing. I mean, if you ever heard a F-16 over your head... I was in the Lebanon war in Israel, just hearing the F-16s every night, just the roar of that engine. Boy, God, it's powerful, especially when they come low. It's very, very scary when you know there's a power. Look at that power of the engine. It's like amazing. Roar, what amazing sound. And you know, they're going to bomb people. They're on their way to a mission. It's not a joke. So just hearing them, is that enough for fear? Imagine you're in the army now, in the front line, and there's bombs going off. Mitzvah is, no, don't get excited. Well, how do you do that? You have to trust, totally trust in God. And the person says, Shema Yisrael, I believe in you, God. You're the only God. help me get ahead. It's amazing. That's really powerful. That's why a person who's been in these situations, their emunah is much either stronger or weaker. Either it's very strong because they felt it. They know that's how they survived. There's another way. You know, sometimes it's the only way they survived. Amazing. So a person, trusting God is proven by a person's emotional state. You can take a little bit of pressure, you can take a little bit of suffering, you can take a little bit of this, take a little bit of, we have to, that's the only way to survive. How do you do it? Hashem, help me, get me through this. Everyone, you have to scream to Hashem in your head, help me, get me through this. There's no one else, only you can get me through this. Get me through this. But a person who does not trust in God will always be troubled. He's always worried, always beset with sorrow and sadness, no matter whether he does well or not. It's amazing. She's doing well. She's 100 years old, and she's a wealthy woman, and her daughter loves her. But she has so much worries and this and that. It's horrible. When things go well, he's unhappy because he wants more. When things go bad, he's upset because ambitions are not fulfilled. The wise Shlomo Melech said about that person in Mishlei, chapter 15, all the days of a poor man are bad, but a good-hearted person feasts every single day. A good-hearted person. A person who is at rest is feasting every day. Every day is enjoyable. Why? Because his worries, Hashem will take care of the worries. It's so great to get your worries to Hashem. It's so great. I enjoy it in school because you see little kids. It makes you happy. See, they have no worries. These guys have no worries. The only worry is immediate worries. This guy's bugging me, and this guy's making fun of me, and that's immediate worries. But they don't worry about tomorrow. They don't worry about yesterday. They forget about everything. Yesterday's gone, different day, and tomorrow's a different day, and let's focus on the minute, and they're happy. Usually they're happy. Kids are happy. You want to be around kids, you're happy usually. They make you happy. And why? Because they don't worry. They're supposed to go to live for the kid. We're kids. We're God's kids. Might have to worry if I have a very, very powerful father in heaven. You know, my father, he's a multi-trillionaire. He owns everything. He's the owner of the world. He's the owner of the universe. What are you worried about? Halavai. Pelosh should say, you know what? What do I worry about? I'm worried about everything's in God's hands. And Od, every time we take out the Torah, we say, Atari taladahad, ki Hashem hu alikim bashmai ma varaz bitahad. And Od. And Od bevado. There's no one else. That's in the Torah, in Devarim. And Od bevado. There's no one else. Nothing else. Everything's God. We just can't see it. And that's the trouble. One day, and that's what I say, the Yam Suf, it says that even the maid saw in the Yam Suf, this is my God, I'll beautify him. She could point and say, this is my God. She could, all the layers of hiddenness of the nature just split, and she could see, you could see all the way up, you could see, this is God doing it. It's not nature anymore, it's God. Nature is God. God. The nature, the barriers of nature walk. Can you imagine if you could see this every day? You go outside, you say, I see the sky and I see this, but I see behind it. I see the guy pulling the strings. Hashem is there. It's Hashem. But we can't see that. We can see that. It will be so clear, crystal clear. But the trouble is, we can't see it. We have to imagine it. We have to be able to get to that point where we can see it every single second. There's a God over here in the world. So, a person believes in God. It's great. No worries. Placid. Life is a breeze. When things are going good. Even better. Bigger breeze. Things going bad? No problem. Hashem is there. What's the problem? That's a very important test. How peaceful a life does a person have? Well, they're going up and down. They're worried, worried. Listen, everyone has worries. To say a person doesn't have worries is a lie, or they're on a very high level. No, we're talking about regular people. Everyone has worries. But we have to know how to cope with the worries. And the answer is, eventually, a person's got to get to the point where they say, you know what? It's not going to help me, worrying. Worrying is not going to help me. What am I going to do with it? Hashem will look after me. Yeah, you have no choice. You go crazy with the worry. You will go crazy with the worry. Number three. A person trusting God does not trust their occupation to learn a living. He doesn't expect a profit or a loss unless God wills it. He chooses to work in his profession to obey Hashem. I'm working because Hashem said I got to work. So I'm working to do my hishtadlut. If I make a profit or a loss, all in God's hands. So in other words, he doesn't work harder, he doesn't work less. I'm doing my hishtadlut, my basic hishtadlut. And that's it. God wants to bless me, he'll bless me. If he doesn't want to bless me, he won't bless me. That's it. Everything comes from God. So that is a very high level. Well, that's a very high level. How many people can do this? Work minimum hours. How do you do this? I don't know. That's why I became a rabbi. It's too much of a test. You gotta work. There's no end to it. You work there. Work. How do you do it? If a person who does not trust in God puts his confidence in his occupation to gain profit or loss. If the occupation is profitable, he praises it. He also boasts of his achievements and of his wisdom. If, however, it does not bring in profit, he gives it up. What does he do? I'll find something else. More profitable. Which makes sense, you know, that makes sense. But you know what? If God wants you to make it, you'll make it even this. You know the famous story about the person who lived in Israel and believed in God, but the things were not going well. He couldn't make a living, so he goes far else. He goes somewhere else. And over there, he's preaching to others. They'll be like, I don't believe in God. But there's a God, he can look after you. Da, 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 da. You say, yeah, and why are you here? I'm here because I couldn't make money there, but isn't God everywhere? You say, yeah, you're right. I'm going back. He went back and he survived. In other words, if you're preaching that God is everywhere, so why can't you make it there as well? God is everywhere. It's very hard. It's a very hard thing, but you find that if the Palestinians can live in Israel, why can't we? If they can live in there, they're loving it, they're, why can't we do it? And the answer is their standard living is much less than ours. Their taxes are less than ours. They don't fight in the army like we do. It's a much easier life for them. It's amazing. It's an irony. The Israeli Arabs have the best because they get the Bituach Lumi, they get the social welfare, they get the free medicine, they get this, da, 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 and they don't go to the army. the chutzpah. There should be something else for them to do. 3 years, everyone goes to the army, and they're just lazing around. Fantastic. What a life. Yeah. What a life. It's great. But, you know what? If they can do it, we can do it. If they can stay there, we can stay there. So that takes a lot of trust in God. So if I'm going to trust, it's not what I'm doing. It's Hashem's blessing. It's not only what I'm doing. Even though you're going to try your best and do your shtalut and try and get the best profession, but it's God's blessing in what I'm doing. That's the key. How do I get God's blessing? That's the key. That's the question. Number four. Wow. I'm having fun. Time's flying. Okay. I think we'll stop here. And we'll continue next week. Bezrat Hashem. On the 27th, we have a new series. Jewish meditation.